Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jay.
All right, Jim, so the Wild started their season last night with a 5-0 win at St. Louis. Ryan Hartman scored a couple of goals. Philip Gustafson gets the shutout. Your thoughts on the Wild?
Absolutely dominant performance. They did pretty much everything well. Gustafson was good, but he didn't really have to be that good. They played, you know, excellent defense. They moved the puck out of the zone beautifully. They moved the puck in the offensive zone beautifully. Kaprizov with 3 assists. Hartman finished a couple of times. They just look really good. And, you know, the Wild and the Blues kind of came into the season with about the same expectations, kind of borderline playoff teams. And that was as good as an opening game as you could have had or expected or asked for. They were fantastic.
You know, and some of the guys that you talked about that are going to need to be, you know, better. I mean, Ryan Hartman is one of those guys you said could be really good or average. And, and he was good last night.
Yeah, and they need him to be a good two-way player. They also need him to score. I mean, that's just the thing. They need a broad-based, deep scoring lineup. It can't just be Kaprizov. And they can't, you know, I mean, and Hartman, he was excellent last night. And he wasn't just excellent when he scored goals. I mean, one of the goals is, you know, kind of a typical need some luck for it to have it bouncing off the goalie's pad kind of goal. But the second one was good. Boldy, you know, the Boldy and Kaprizov had a beautiful goal early in the game, and then it was just kind of a runaway after that. But I mean, you shouldn't ever overreact to one game unless it's the game that decides the championship. But you know, for all the question marks around this team, and here's one thing, you know, like I said, I mean, you sign Kaprizov and Gustafson in long-term contracts, that doesn't really make you necessarily better in terms of your roster. You already had those players, but maybe it kind of settled things down for this group. We'll see how it plays out over the long haul, but you know, maybe just knowing that Kaprizov's here, knowing that your number one goalie signed, maybe that brings a little bit of calm to the group.
You know, it seems like in the past, Jim, that this team has had a lot of injuries to deal with, whether it be Kaprizov, Eriksson Ek, various other guys, Bergeron's missed time. Is that just going to be one of the keys to is just stay healthy?
Yeah. And, you know, right now Brodin's out. I don't know how long he's out. They certainly survived without him last night. You know, they can't go without Kaprizov. They do have good defensive depth. So while Brodin is one of their best players, they also have a lot of depth there. They can probably survive him being out for a little while. With this team's defense, you probably don't want two of your top five out for extended lengths of time. But you know, they do have excellent defensive depth. It's really more scoring depth. You know, you don't want Kaprizov to feel like he needs to go out there and score four goals a game to win. He needs to have support. He needs to feel like if he moves the puck, plays his game, which is a passing game, people are going to finish for him. That's where Boldy and Hartman and all these other guys are going to matter.
Jim, the NFL game last night, Thursday Night Football, kind of a surprise. The Giants win 34-17 over the Eagles. Eagles have dropped 2 in a row, and the Eagles' next opponent will be the Vikings.
Yes, the Eagles do not look good right now, and the Giants look suddenly good. Jackson Dart, he looks phenomenal. He just looks like exactly what you want a young quarterback to be. Runs it well, scrambles with great feel, throws the heck out of it, throws the touch, throws the velocity. He just looks fantastic. It's a shame Malik Nabers is out because between Dart, Scadabo, and Nabers, they really have something to build around. I remember when the Cowboys, you know, built their dynasty, it was Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin they built around. Well, the Giants might have that. And the Eagles are not running. They, you know, the first two plays of the game, Saquon Barkley ran very well. In general, they're not running the ball very well. Their offensive line isn't as dominant as it used to be. Hurts missed a wide open Devontae Smith last night for what should have been like a 70-yard touchdown. It might turn the game around. You know, it just don't look great. You know, and it's still a very good roster. There's still plenty of time for them to turn it around. But man, the Vikings, that four-game gauntlet we talked about, just doesn't look as tough as it used to. Eagles are struggling. Chargers are dealing with a lot of injuries. The Ravens are not playing well at all. So who knows? If the Vikings can find a way to split those four games, they'd be in decent shape.
Jim, you bring up Jackson Dart, and I think it's his third start. And Dart looked like he had a much better touch on the ball. You know, he was thrown to receivers. Of course, running is a part of his game. you compare, I mean, I know that J.J. McCarthy is a little bit different. Maybe Dart's more of a runner than McCarthy is, but McCarthy certainly has that as part of his game. Is this an example of a young quarterback, you just need to play and you'll start to see that improvement like we're seeing with Dart?
Well, I mean, I think it's more of an example of the whole quarterback process 99% of the time being something of a mystery, you know? I mean, we still don't know if J.J. McCarthy is going to be a good NFL quarterback. We just don't know. I do think he has to play. I do think you have to give him every opportunity. And what we're seeing around the league is that people who give up on young quarterbacks or don't put a good young quarterback in a good situation will be embarrassed later because that player probably can play, whether it's Daniel Jones or Mac Jones or, you know, Sam Darnold or whoever. We just don't know about McCarthy. What I will say is that Jackson Dart, when you watch him play, you say, wow, he just, you know, he's the starter for the next 10 years. And McCarthy's going to have to prove that. He just hasn't proved it yet.
Do you know how much McCarthy has done this week as far as trying to get back? And I mean, I guess we still don't know if he's starting next week against the Eagles or if it's Wentz.
No, we have no idea. And they're not going to tell us. So, I mean, McCarthy's been rehabbing every day. And I'm sure he's still rehabbing every day. He's still game planning. He's still trying to get himself to the point where he can play. But, yeah, they're on lockdown this week. We're not going to learn anything this week.
Baseball playoffs yesterday, Dodgers eliminated the Phillies by winning 2-1. The Cubs stayed alive. They beat the Brewers. Your thoughts on the baseball playoffs?
Yeah, and now you have two game fives coming up. You have Scooble going against the Mariners, and then you have Cubs Brewers to advance the NLCS. The National League Championship Series. So Cubs have fought back. I still, you know, the Brewers obviously have been the better team. But the fact that the Cubs got, you know, a pretty good outing out of Hap finally, who just hasn't been that good. You don't know what's going to happen here. But I think watching Scooble pitch an elimination game, a deciding game of a series, is going to be fascinating, especially against a Mariners lineup that has been great. And then Cubs Brewers, you know, Milwaukee and Chicago do have that built-in rivalry. The Brewers were the best team in baseball this year, you know. It would be kind of sad to see the Brewers bow out at this point.
Yeah, George Kirby versus Turk Skubal, but great pitching matchup today. Yeah, and then the Cubs and Brewers are going to play tomorrow in their game five. That's both 7 o'clock games the next two nights. So baseball fans, it should be good. The Timberwolves, they lose to the Knicks 100-95 in overtime yesterday. I know wins and losses don't mean so much. We saw quite a bit of Julius Randle, Anthony Edwards. They played more than 20 minutes in the game yesterday. Thoughts on the Wolves?
Well, I thought Dillingham had another uneven game. I thought he looked pretty good in the first half, not so good in the second half. Other than that, I don't know there's much to take out of that game. They just, you know, that's the story. We kind of know what the rotation is. We know what the team's going to be. Other than if somebody gets hurt, there aren't many storylines in this preseason that are really going to matter during the regular season. I think Dillingham remains the story. You know, can he figure it out? Can he figure out how to play at this level? And can they figure out going into the season exactly how they want to use him? Or is this going to be a year-long experiment? Now, as I keep reminding people, you know, last year the Wolves were bad for like 3 or 4 months, or disappointing for 3 or 4 months. And they turned it on. They got a good seed. They went to the conference finals and lost to the best team in basketball. So there's a lot of time to figure things out. It doesn't have to be figured out in the preseason. But, you know, you'd like it to be figured out in preseason.
WNBA Finals Game 4 tonight. Aces play the Mercury in Phoenix. Chance for the Aces to close it out. Any thoughts on that?
The Aces are going to win this series. It's a question of whether it's going to be 4 or 5, maybe 6 games. The Aces are just better, and they've been absolutely dominant for the last two and a half months, whatever it's been. You know, the Nafisa Collier injury and the Aces turning it on kind of happened at the same time and ruined what would have been great drama for all of us. You know, if we missed out on two potentially great series. We missed out on the Lynx against the Liberty, where I think the Lynx would have taken it to them, and because of Collier's injury and everything else that happened in that series and not frankly playing all that well, we missed the possibility of an Aces-Lynx finals, which would have been a blast. Now I think the Aces are just going to outclass Phoenix and win it.
Gopher football is going to play their homecoming game against Purdue tomorrow night. Certainly Gophers looked really rough against a very good team, Ohio State, probably best team in the country. Your thoughts on the Gophers' chances against Purdue tomorrow?
Yeah, I really think the loss to Ohio State is a college football loss. It's the way the sport is built. It's built so powerhouses get to play against teams that just don't have the same, you know, the same wherewithal. So I'm not going to really hold that against the Gophers. Ohio State's phenomenal. But this is a big game. And it's not a big game because Purdue's good. It's a big game because Purdue isn't good. And this is one of the games on the schedule that the Gophers need to win. And if they win two of their next three, then they're sitting pretty well. If they lose two of the next three, then this season will end up looking like something of a disappointment.
What do you think of Drake Lindsey? Is he a guy that could be an NFL quarterback at some point, or do we just not know yet?
Oh, I think we got a long way to go. You know, you just think about all the quality. I mean, he's got a lot to prove. He's got to prove he's a good college quarterback first. He hasn't done that yet. I think he has the capability, his size. I like his arm talent. I like the, you know, his ability to stick the ball in small spaces. But, you know, we got to remember how many great college quarterbacks don't make it in the NFL. So now we're talking about a guy who hasn't even proven he's a good college quarterback, and we're trying to reject him. I just think we're years away from knowing any more about him.
Jim, Gopher basketball's got a scrimmage tomorrow. They're getting close to starting their season. Is there any buzz around this team? I mean, it sounds like tickets are still, you know, pretty cheap for Gopher basketball.
Yeah, I think the women's team has a chance to be really good if Mara Braun's healthy. I think they have a good veteran group with Mara Braun and Amaya Battle as their leaders. If Braun can stay healthy, I think they have a chance to be really good. The men's team, you know, I do think people got excited about the coaching hire, and I think they should have. I think that's a really good hire. But, you know, do they have enough talent to compete in the Big Ten? I mean, it's going to be the ongoing question for this program. So, yeah, there's just not – I'm sure the Gopher people just hope that this would be the hire that brought a lot of excitement. But really, the only marketing that matters in sports is winning. And, you know, we just don't have any idea if this team's capable of winning.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We have a lot up. We have the John Krasinski show on Dillingham, point guard, everything that's happening with this roster right now. We have a Viking update show talking about quarterbacks and other positions. Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider is up. Don Mitchell's show, which includes our conversation with Leah B. Olson about the WNBA and the Lynx problems. Everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, is brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Next on WJON, World of National News from ABC, followed by local news.